Did you ever throw for 500 yards anywhere, Jeff?
I actually did. It was my first start at home with Calgary against Edmonton in the Labor Day Classic, which is coming up in a couple days. But it was my second season with the Calgary Stampeders. I had started one previous game out in Birmingham during that NFL or during the U.S. expansion of the CFL, and we came back the next week to have the home and away series against Edmonton. It was my first start at home and stepped onto that field and threw for 500 plus yards and five or six touchdowns. Had one of those rare days that landed me upon the scene in Calgary.
Was it just because you were so happy not to be in Birmingham?
Well, I had to prove that I was somebody who could follow and take over in the footsteps of Doug Flutie.
So listen, you're a guy who knows what it's like to come in and take over, like you just said, in the steps of Doug Flutie. And I just mentioned, you know, the performance at College Station with Hill. Like, so this guy's got to come in and replace Johnny Manziel. And I'll bring this all back around because you also played in Cleveland. But what's it like to come in after a phenomenal player and essentially, you know, a living legend?
Sure, it's not an easy thing to do. Obviously, there's a standard that's been set at an all-time high, obviously, with what Manziel did there in College Station at Texas A&M was phenomenal, winning the Heisman as a freshman, the upset of number one-ranked Alabama during that season, the things that he did in just 2 years of playing the position set a standard that you probably didn't think would be replaced anytime soon. All of a sudden, this Hill kid steps onto the field and in his first game lights up the scoreboard, lights up the college world against a top-ranked, top-10 opponent in South Carolina. That's unbelievable to be able to step out on the field and have that type of game. It definitely shows that people are replaceable and that there's tremendous talent that is out there waiting in the wings for that opportunity. And that's what it's all about. It's taking advantage of the opportunity. Well, Hill is definitely struck in a big-time way, and now let's see if he can be consistent and back it up on a weekly basis.
Yeah, he went from not being a factor in the Heisman conversation to Vegas just has him at 20-1. You know, Kenny Hill comes in, and the Aggies are ranked 21st, and South Carolina's ranked 9th, as you said, a top-10 team, right? They beat the tar out of them, 52-28. Like, it wasn't even close. And this Texas A&M team, which we know had an offensive line and receivers, is suddenly got to be a factor in the playoff discussion anyway. I know it's way early, but they weren't a factor. They may be now.
It is early. There's a lot of football left to be played, but I think the motivation of Texas A&M team is to basically show the world that they're more than just Johnny Manziel. They're more than just one player that made up that team and the greatness of that team. And as you mentioned, they had an offensive tackle, a receiver that both went in the top 10 picks last year. Well, there's a lot of talent that's coming through Texas A&M, playing in the great state of Texas where football is king. You have phenomenal athletes that are waiting in the wings. And I think part of the motivation of that team is to show that we're much more than any one guy, that we are a great program, a great team, coached by great coaches, and have great leadership within that community there to really set the world on fire. And that's probably their motivation right now, is to prove that, hey, they belong to be considered in a top 10 type of category, and they did it by knocking off number 9 last night.
Yep. Thanks for doing this, by the way. I know you got a game against the Ottawa Red Blacks tonight, and you're the quarterback coach now, the Montreal Alouettes. You just got there a few weeks ago. What's this been like for you going from the playing side of the CFL to the coaching side of the CFL?
It's definitely been a transition. I knew all along that, hey, the hours of a coach are much different than those of a player, and that was part of the reason why, as a player, I said that I would never coach. And now look at, here I am coming full circle to really what I know. And that's why I'm doing this. It's, first of all, came unexpected. I wasn't seeking it. I wasn't looking for a coaching job in the NFL, in the CFL, or at the collegiate level. I was just back home doing my own private tutelage, working with quarterbacks through my Jeff Garcia football program. And I was about to take some time off with all of my young quarterbacks having gone back to their teams and preparing for their seasons. And then I got a call from Jim Popp, the GM of the Montreal Alouettes, asking if I'd like to come in and be more of a consultant to see what the problems were with their offensive scheme, with their system, with their quarterback play. And 1 week into that led to being hired on or being asked if I would be the quarterback coach. And it wasn't so much of a conversation as it was an appointment. You're going to be our quarterback coach and we're going to move forward. And so I just, I accepted the role and the responsibility, and I'm just trying to help these young quarterbacks figure out a way to be more productive on the field, to take advantage of the opportunity that's been given to them, to really make something great out of it. Now, it's been a struggle, but we've played better the last 2 weeks in tough environments out in Saskatchewan and then again in Winnipeg against two quality football teams, and we've been close to winning those games. But now we need to find a way against the Eastern Division especially to pull out some wins, to put points on the board. And it's up to the quarterback position to play more consistently, to play more effectively.
Okay, so speaking of which, is Jonathan Crompton the answer at quarterback for you right now?
Well, we're trying to find the answer. Obviously, this team started with Troy Smith, and I came in right at the end of Troy Smith's opportunity. He had the one game that I was able to watch against Edmonton, and it was a bit of a struggle. And then Alex Brink stepped on the field, and he did some nice things, but there's right now not a situation where we can be patient. We have to find that answer, and it has to be found right now. And there's not a lot of time. We're almost midway through the season. Tonight will be the midway point. We need to find ways to win football games. I think Jonathan Crompton brings some talent, brings some skill, some ability. He showcased some of that last week against Winnipeg with his opportunities on the field, having had limited practice opportunities. So now having a full week of practice as the guy going into this game tonight, I think that's going to help him. And again, it's an opportunity that he has to take advantage of. If he doesn't take advantage of it, we're going to continue to seek the answer. And that's the tough thing about having to replace a legend like Anthony Calvillo, who played here so well, so effectively, was a championship Grey Cup winning quarterback for this organization. Now you're trying to find that next guy, and they're not everywhere. You got to seek and search, and hopefully somebody steps up to the plate.
Our guest is Jeff Garcia. You can follow him on Twitter at Jeff Garcia, JGFA. And Jeff, let's talk about the Johnny Manziel discussion. You played in the NFL for a long period of time. You had a great career in the NFL with the San Francisco 49ers. Then you played in Cleveland and Detroit and Philly and Tampa. And look, you had some fantastic seasons. The Niners were the team where you really made your mark in your career. But you played in Cleveland. What's the battle for Manziel? Look, Hoyer and Manziel both played well last night in the final preseason tune-up. But what's the battle in a city like Cleveland that hasn't had a playoff team in a heck of a long time? I mean, you know, you go back to the Brian Sipe era, with all due respect to you being there in 2004, as really the last time that this team was a factor. But you played in the market. Tell us about the market and what you think the challenges are for a Johnny Manziel, who, as I said, is on the cover of Sportsnet, the magazine, this month. What are the challenges for this guy? And is he ever going to be an everyday NFL quarterback? Because he's not a big boy, and you weren't big either. Your stature is similar, but you were quite successful because of your ability to get out of the pocket, and you had a pretty strong arm for a guy that, you know, wasn't 6'5", 240. So what do you think Manziel has to do to be successful in the NFL?
Well, it's a bloodthirsty market in Cleveland, to say the least. I mean, they are football hungry, fanatical fans, and they have been starving for a winner for a long time. And as you mentioned it, Brian Sipe and the Cardiac Kids back in the day, they had some moments of greatness, some moments of hope, and there hasn't been any hope there since the team came back in 1999. And to be honest with you, the only time and the last time that team has won a season opening game was in 2004 when I started for them against the Baltimore Ravens and we beat them at home in Cleveland. They have not won a season opener outside of that in the 15 years since being back in the league. And so that city, you feel for them because it is a blue collar mentality. It is a hard working, grinding type of atmosphere, and they love their Browns, but it's been such a love-hate relationship because of the disappointment and the discouragement on the field. And it starts with management. It starts from the top, and it works its way on down. And they've drafted quarterbacks in the first round that haven't panned out. They've drafted three quarterbacks in the first round in the last 15 years with Whedon, Brady Quinn, and Tim Couch. Not one of those guys has been successful. Not one of those guys has lasted long in the NFL. They've all been out probably within 5 to 6 years. The decisions that have gone into those choices and to building the team have not been great. You have one of the all-time great coaches leading the New England Patriots to multiple Super Bowls in Belichick, but yet he struggled to win in Cleveland, and maybe they got rid of him before his time of greatness because he's definitely showed that in New England. But what Johnny Manziel has in front of him, what Brian Hoyer has in front of him is a situation where they have to find a way to bring the power of the team together. The only way you're going to succeed is in the entire group really challenging themselves to be great in so many ways. It's a tough conference, tough division. You see the Cincinnati Bengals, who used to be on the bottom there with the Browns, battling for that third place piece of the division, are now competing toward the top with Pittsburgh, with Baltimore. Now, where's Cleveland at? And they need to figure out that quarterback position. Brian Hoyer, being the local kid, grew up in Cleveland, born a Browns fan, is living that dream come true of playing for the hometown team. And then you have the charismatic, the craziness, the following of Johnny Manziel and what that brings. And I think Johnny Manziel absolutely has the ability to be an everyday, every down type of quarterback, but he needs to learn. He needs to grow. He needs to mature into the position, into better decision-making from within the pocket. You cannot just rely on your legs to extend plays. The size and speed of the talent in the NFL is much greater than what it was at the collegiate level. You will not last for long if you try to make plays outside of the pocket every time you start to feel pressure around you. You have to make the throws, the critical throws from within the pocket. If you can do that and then be able to extend the plays, much like a Russell Wilson and what he's been able to do in his two great years of being with the Seattle Seahawks, you need to find ways to lead and to represent and to operate the offense much like he does. If you can't do that, you're going to struggle. And what Johnny is showing right now is that he's more caught up in the social aspect of being a pro instead of actually acting like a pro.
Jeff Garcia is our guest, quarterback coach with the Montreal Alouettes. And as he mentioned earlier, if you want to check out jeffgarciafootball.com, coaches quarterbacks, develops quarterbacks, understands the position himself, a great quarterback for many, many years in both the Canadian Football League and in the NFL. And Jeff, as you mentioned, the Labor Day Classic, you participated in it, but you know there may not be a venue for it. I don't know if you know what's going on in Hamilton, but the new stadium, Tim Hortons Stadium, they're not even sure if it's going to be ready. So they may have to come and use your building just in case. You know, I don't know if you heard that story, but it might not be ready for Monday.
I heard that, and that's unfortunate. I know they've been a traveling team over the first half of the season, playing at different colleges and and those sort of things. It's too bad that things haven't gotten straightened out there with the stadium. From what I understand, I know the field has not been rested long enough to be safe from a health standpoint, and I guess there are other conditions that they're dealing with the stadium. Looks like a beautiful venue when it does finally open up, and those Hamilton Tiger Cat fans are going to be very, I think, receptive of the opportunity to support that team. I think it'll be a great venue to play in. Eventually, hopefully, they'll get it done as soon as possible.
It's 10:17. Jeff Garcia is our guest. And before we let you go, Jeff, just going to ask you really quickly. I know you got to get going here. It's a game day. But, you know, this Browns team is challenged without Josh Gordon. But I was going to ask you, Roger Goodell comes out today and says he made a mistake in the handling of the punishment of Ray Rice. And there seems to be a talk out of different sides of your mouth at different times with regards to punishment in the NFL. What's your take, your thought on the different punishment for different offenses? A guy smokes pot. I know it's a second offense, you know, and he's out for the entire year. And, you know, Ray Rice does what he does and he gets two games. And now Roger Goodell comes out and says that he made a mistake.
Sure. I think, first of all, there have been fines. There have been different sorts of, measures being put out there by the Goodell as to how he handles the issues that the NFL deals with. With Josh Gordon, I mean, this guy has made one mistake after the next. And unfortunately for him, it wasn't his first or second time. It was his fourth time, whether it was alcohol related or drug related. At some point you have to, the lessons that are trying to be learned here obviously aren't sinking in with him. And if the game is going to be taken away from him for an entire year, it better really make him consider what his decisions are moving forward and how it can jeopardize what could be a great career and a very financially rewarding career for him. Now, as far as Ray Rice is concerned, I think anytime you deal with domestic abuse, domestic violence, that's a very critical situation. And I do believe that Goodell got it wrong in the initial levying of the two-game suspension. It should have been much more harsh than that, especially when you look at the fan base of the NFL. It's not just men. It's a large population of women that support the league, that cheer for the league and back it. And so Goodell needs to find a way to be more consistent in how he levies these critical situations for players. And I think it's up to the players to look at themselves in the mirror and start figuring out ways to where they can stop putting themselves in harm's way and making the decisions that they're making.
Jeff, thank you very much for doing this. And once again, if you want to check out Jeff's website, jeffgarciafootball.com, and on Twitter, @JeffGarcia, JGFA. Good luck in your game against the Red Blacks tonight, and continued success, Jeff, in selling your house. I know it's still on the market. I told you last time, I can't afford 7.7,
well,
but, you know.
That was news to me when it broke out on Twitter. Hey, maybe that sort of publicity will find the right buyer.
Jeff's got a really, really nice pad, and it's in Rancho Santa Fe, which basically is heaven on earth. If you want to put an offer in, just look it up online. Jeff Garcia's house is for sale. Jeff, thanks a lot for doing this.